Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 79 of the Weekly Long Box. I'm Leonard, joined each and every week by Todd. Todd, how are we doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. Kind of cool right now. I like it.
Yeah, kind of cool. I like this balmy weather where we have, over 70, near 80-degree weather, and then the next day, snow.
Oh, it is really good. It keeps you on your toes.
That's right. And by keeps you on your toes, if you have, like, arthritis or gimpy knees like I do, that's a delight.
Oh, my legs are starting to go in my old age. Jazzy, here I come.
Yeah. So, how was your weekend?
It was pretty good. Low-key, I just went to see that new Star Trek movie there and watched the season finale of Doctor Who.
Oh, so this was the big season finale that was spoilered up online.
Yep. Which I found interesting that I found out how many DVDs actually shipped.
Really? Oh, okay.
I believe it was 220, but I'm not 100% sure.
All it takes is one.
That's right. So we did pretty good.
So, yeah, I don't think, I know a lot of our listeners are Doctor Who-ites, Whoers, as they are called.
Yes.
That's right. And I'll probably never get a chance to see the Star Trek movie in this lifetime. So let's chat those up at the end of the show to avoid spoilers, huh?
Not a problem.
So I had an eventful weekend. I drove out to Chicago on Friday night for wrestling. Got a lot of compliments on the podcast, as I am wont to do. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as the show was over on Friday, or on Saturday night, we drove home. And the person who had rented the car informed us that when they dropped the car off, the computer and the clerk at the desk at the rental car agency refused to believe that we put over 1,600 miles on the car in less than 48 hours.
So they charged you less.
No, they're just like, that's impossible.
Oh, no.
And like, the computer couldn't process it.
Hmm, Skynet.
Right. So the other eventful things was on the way home, you know, we were taking shifts driving, of course, because it's a 13-hour drive. And apparently while I was falling asleep in the uncomfortable van, my glasses just snapped in half.
Ooh, at the nose?
Yes.
Ooh, that's a bad place.
Right. So, and because of my delicate prescription for my giant Coke bottle glasses, it's going to take like 2 weeks.
Oh.
So, I was having issues trying to, get my glasses back together, and it didn't dawn on me that I was having a problem doing it, because without my glasses on, I can't see a thing.
Ooh. So, you're like in a catch 22.
Right, so my wife is just like, just get out of here, I'll do it. Just get out. You're wasting everyone's time.
I feel your pain because my eyes are so bad that if I look the wrong way during a sunny day, sunlight shoots through my lenses and burns aliens on other planets. That's how bad my prescription is.
So it was all in all, it was a fun trip. A lot of awesome, awesome wrestling. But I am home, and we are ready to talk about comics.
Yay!
So, in comics news, I know this is a surprise to you, Todd, and everyone listening, that someone has left DC.
Ooh, you mean they left?
A creator has left DC before their run was done.
Wow, shocking.
Yes. There was an interesting thing that you tweeted about, and I want to talk to you about it, was about the Injustice comic book.
Mm-hmm.
And how to get into a scene there.
Mm-hmm.
DC is going all out with their hype for the upcoming Man of Steel movie. I certainly hope it pays off for them. And I have I want to talk to you about some cool shirts that are available.
Okay.
Out there. Also, we have our usual talk about tons of digital stuff that's available. There's two really awesome sales going on right now. We read a bunch of stuff this week. We have Iron Man and Wolverine and the X-Men to talk about from last week. And I think, Todd, you also mentioned that we're going to talk about Nightwing 20 and Green Hornet number 2.
Yes.
Yes, it's interesting that you brought those up.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we have the books that we're looking forward to this week. I'm going to be doing a lot of cheating with my pick, or should I say picks, this week.
Mm-hmm.
And there might even be a contest in there, I'm springing on Todd.
Oh, wow, I love when you spring stuff on me. I don't get rattled at all.
Well, this has nothing to do with you, and it rattled me, but we'll get into that a little bit later. Mm-hmm. Tons and tons of sketches came in from all of our listeners for Sketch Party Saturday, and our Twitter question of your favorite transition of a villain to a hero. And I'll say this. My original choice, nobody came up with. And it was other listeners that reminded me how awesome this person is. And, you know, sometimes people are heroes longer than they're villains. And you forget that they were ever a villain.
Gotcha. I know. I actually think I know who you might have picked, but I'm not saying anything.
So where do you want to begin with the news, my good man?
How about someone departing DC?
Yes. So this happened late in the day on Friday. And this was James Robinson, a longtime DC writer, everything from Starman to JSA to Justice League and everything in between, currently on Earth 2. He had tweeted out on Friday saying that as of that day, he was leaving the book with issue 16. He gave his best wishes to Dan, Jeff, and everyone there, and saying that he is also no longer working with DC.
Mm.
Now, he had stated previously that he had this story planned out for at least the first 2 years.
Right.
And I can't imagine what happened that caused him, someone who's been with DC as long as he has been, to give up on this book.
I was actually trying to think if he ever worked at Marvel, and I couldn't come up with anything off the top of my head. So, like you're saying, his whole time he's been working at DC. You know, went off and did some movie stuff. But like you said, yeah, it's one of those guys. He's been there as long. What did they do to him? And I wonder if we'll actually ever hear the story.
I'm sure we will. I don't know if you saw the back and forth with him and Tony Harris as well.
No, I didn't.
Tony Harris was essentially just coming out, like, saying, like, just kind of giving him a hard time. It's like, oh, that was a very sincere goodbye.
I think it was. I think it was the sincerest of sincere goodbyes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But like you said, it's the shuffle that we have now. They built something up and they yanked the rug out from under you. And it just makes me wonder how many writers, you know, can stay around, how they can keep, like, you know, some of these upper names to middle on their way up names. You know, I don't think, like, Jeff Johns is going to get hassled, Scott Snyder right now, but, you know, if eventually those are going to be your only two guys writing books over there.
But. Well, and, you know, and that's the thing. There are a lot of new writers coming in. You know, we'll kind of get to that a little bit later on in the what we're looking forward to this week. But when someone like a Scott Snyder or a Jeff Lemire, and as crazy as it sounds, you're Scott Lobdell, who is writing, like, what, 6 books now?
Mm-hmm. Soon to be writing Earth 2, probably.
Soon to be writing Earth 2. When the day comes when one of those three say, yep, this is my last issue of something, that's when I know. Like, that's... Then I'm like, okay, things are real bad.
Mm-hmm. Now, the three were Scott Lobdell, Scott Snyder, and Jeff Johns?
Jeff Lemire.
I'm sorry, I got confused. Yeah, because Jeff Johns is upper up. It's not like he's going to have any problems. But yeah, those are the three names that if they walk out the door, it's you might as well just zip up the tent and, you know, fold it up and take the circus out of town, because it's not going to be good.
And again, as terrible as it is to say, man, there's good stuff that I read at DC, and we'll talk about some of it later. But whenever I'm talking to people about comic books, and, you know, I always, the first books that come out of my mouth for recommendation are not DC books. They're Marvel and Image books.
Mm-hmm. With one or two exceptions, probably, for me.
Yeah.
At DC, like Batman, you're just not going to say no, you know.
Especially, you know, there's times to hop on books and there's times not to hop on books. But I think Marvel and Image right now have a better track record of easeability to hop on a book.
Yeah, I think with Marvel now especially, it really made it accessible. I have a lot of people, you know, talking to a lot of people at the shop that started on books because they could, you know, and they keep them in reprints, and if they're not in reprints, then the day that, you know, the sixth issue comes out, it's almost like the next week, there's your hardcover, and then your trade. So Marvel, like you said, Marvel's all over, and Image just pumps out, you know, new stuff constantly, and I got to give them credit, probably the most diverse stuff. So if you can't find something, you know, I don't know what to tell you.
And I'll say this about Image as well, and kind of get back to DC and their trade, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for, the way they roll out their trades. But Image, usually when they have a trade of something come out, they'll hold off on an issue like by a week or two to have the trade come out the same week as, like, the first issue of the next storyline or something.
Right, yep. As it's, they're both walking in the door at the same time.
Right. I know they just did that recently with Chew. I know they did that recently with Fatale. They did that recently with Morning Glories. A lot of their books, that's how they do it. If they hold off on a book like a week or two so they can have those two things in the store, it's like, hey, push the trade, push the book.
Mm-hmm. Get all caught up.
Right. Whereas DC, just to give you an example, this this week, issue 20 of Aquaman comes out. Most trades are about six issues. The hardcover of the first six issues of Aquaman came out a year ago. The first trade of that same hardcover came out 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but they're really on their Batman schedule. They have that down.
They actually don't, because I think the hardcover of Return of the Joker is coming out in October.
Yeah, but that's going to change everything, because the first printing of that is going to have, like, a different special cover, and people are going to claim. It's going to be wacky with all this new stuff.
I don't know, man. Like I said, I love DC, and Todd and I are both DC apologists until we're blue in the face. I know a lot of our listeners will have a Twitter question, and if it's not DC-related, they don't even take part in it.
Mm-hmm.
But man, like, even if DC wasn't kind of, you know, is shaky, Marvel and Image and, like, even your IDWs and even, you know, a lot, like, Dynamite is starting to hit some home runs lately. They're just making DC look pale in comparison.
Yep, Dynamite is one of my favorite little companies right now. I read a lot of that stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
one thing I do just want to mention in passing here, you had tweeted about it, about getting drawn into an issue of Injustice Gods Among Us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the current artist, Mike Miller, was talking about how this is the number one selling digital book. It takes up the top 18 spots on the 100 list of books. And then I also hear that, you know, when DC does their now, I'll give them this. They're on the ball with their digital to print stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're getting those out in a really quick fashion, like the New Adventures of Superman one.
Mm-hmm.
The third part of that digital storyline just came out this week. The print edition of the first three parts comes out next week.
Right.
So they're on top of that, and they're on top of Injustice, but they don't do huge print runs on those digital first books. And because Injustice is doing so well as both a video game as in a digital book, the print version of that book is very hard to come by.
Wow, really?
Yes.
Is it expensive?
I don't know yet. Oh. I just know that a lot of people don't have it in stock.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people who are fans of the game are going to look for the comic book and are being turned away and being told, well, we don't have the book, but it's available digitally.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So the artist, Mike Miller, is offering up things by, I guess, what is it, bidding on some of his original art for the book?
No, I just think you bid to be put in.
Okay.
What I read. I could be wrong, though.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at it here. It's on eBay.
Mm-hmm. I think you get the page, but, you know, not like, it's not like you buy art and then you get the option to be in the comic. It's you get to bid and be in the, well, you have it there, so... Right?
Yeah. I'll say this. It looks like it did not go for that much, though.
Really?
Yes. Yes, I'm very surprised by that as well.
Oh, wow. But that's very interesting. See, I was going to bid on it, but I've been told I'm actually either in this week's digital version of Injustice or next week's. I'm not sure because I don't get it digitally. But I'm a truck driver.
Now, will that get you to buy the book that you're in it?
Yes, I will buy that issue. I will buy that issue. Come on, I'm awesome. I'm in that issue. I'll probably try and buy the art page, too, because there's not much on it, so I know it won't go for much. Well, then again, it is an appearance of me. I could see a lot of my fans, just clamoring to get it, but I think I got some stroke with the artist, and I'll be able to get it.
I was going to say, because we can, like, fabricate something to get the price on the original art for that to go up.
Ooh, that would be great. Collusion, I believe it's called.
Now, the most recent issue of Injustice that came out has art by Kevin Maguire.
Right. Okay, then maybe it's the one coming out next week.
Okay, so be on the lookout for that. If you're picking up Injustice Gods Among Us digitally, issue 20, which comes out next week... It's going to have a cameo appearance by our own Todd in there.
Yay!
Yeah, so check that out.
Definitely have to check that out.
So the other news item I wanted to mention here was June 12th, which is, what, 3 weeks? 4 weeks? 3 weeks today. DC is having that day declared Man of Steel Day, I'm sure in conjunction with the Man of Steel movie that comes out 2 days later.
Mm-hmm.
They're giving away copies of All-Star Superman number 1, which is awesome. I love that All-Star Superman book.
Mm-hmm.
That's also the day that Superman Unchained comes out.
Right, that's...
And they're going to have a big sale on Comixology that day. All-Star Superman number 1 is going to be free to download on Comixology, and they are teaming with Random House to get the Man of Steel book in thousands of libraries.
That's cool.
Yes.
I think there should be more. I don't know how many, you know, libraries have a comic section, but I think that's really cool if, you know, you start pushing that and libraries have comics. If I was a kid, you know, and I that would get me to walk in the library every day.
I will tell you this, and I think you know this as well. We're talking about our mutual friend Tom, who is doing the upcoming art on that Injustice Gods Among Us. But when he has spare books, just like I do, when I try to run through them to sell them, and I try to give them away at Halloween, whatever's left over, I take to the local library.
That's cool.
And the local librarian says they are a huge hit.
Good for you.
Yes.
That's one of us. Maybe when I sell some of my stuff and I have stuff left over, I'll take it to the local library. That's a good idea. Because I can't bring myself to throw a book or a comic away.
No.
It physically can't happen. Like, you know, when you see in the movies those comedy bits when a guy tries to do something that he can't do, it's like your muscles just freeze up and you have the other hand trying to, it just won't work.
So I know even the few books that the baby has that he goes through when he rips them up to shreds, I'm like, no, that's still good.
That could still be read somehow.
It is. As long as the Hulk or any of the Avengers are visible on the page, it's still an accessible book.
There you go.
Yes. But. So check out Man of Steel Day on June 12th. If you don't like the old Superman, please give him a try, because Superman is good. Some of the stuff right now may not be the best, but definitely check that out.
Mm-hmm.
So the shirts that I wanted to mention to you was this company called We Love Fine that does like a lot of... creator-owned designs, I guess, is the best way that I can see it. There's a ton of Marvel stuff on there, very little DC stuff, but they have tons and tons of other stuff. Definitely give them a check. They're not a sponsor of ours. But right now, they're doing two really cool projects. One with Kelly Sue DeConnick, with imagery from her current Captain Marvel book, and her proceeds from the sales of these shirts, she's donating to Girls Leadership Institute.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really cool designs. There's one specifically that has a Spider-Woman on it. And she's saying, it's from one of the, it's from Avengers Assemble number 9 with art by Stefano Caselli, where Spider-Woman is taunting the Hulk to go make her a sandwich.
Which is the way to go.
Yes. And the other shirts that are available on there are Matt Fraction curated Hawkeye shirts. And he is donating his proceeds from those shirts to the charity Futures Without Violence, which prevents to end violence and abuse against women and children around the world. The shirts are all awesome. There's one that just says bro on it.
Mm-hmm.
There's another one that says Hawk Guy, not Hawk Eye. It says Hawk Guy.
G-g-g-guy.
In the manner of the logo of the Hawkeye book. And then from my favorite panel from that book, when he is in the nude and he is avoiding the Russian mob guys, and there is a little Hawkeye head over his naughty bits,
mm-hmm.
There is a shirt that has that same very Hawkeye head at the very, very bottom of the shirt.
I'm visualizing what you're explaining.
Yes. As though it is covering up your own naughty business.
Gotcha. I think this is great. You know, it goes towards good causes. Not, you know, naysaying. I was just wondering, I guess Marvel would have to be okay with this. because, you know, like, now, the bro you can get away with. You could just say, well, you know, bro is bro. But the pictures of the characters, you know, with copyrights and stuff like that. So as long as they're cool with it, you know, and, you know, these people are doing it for a good cause, I think it's great.
Yeah, so definitely check those shirts out. And I'm sure if you tool around on the internet or ask me nicely, there's coupon codes that exist that you can get some a couple bucks off those shirts.
Coupons?
Coupons, yes. Gotcha. Online coupons.
Gotcha.
So, speaking of other awesome deals that are available online, as always, Marvel has some free books available. They have Luke Cage Noir number 1 and Thor Blood Oath number 1, which is a really fun Thor miniseries, which is one of the few Thor books that I read before the current Jason Aaron run. It's written by Michael Avon Oeming with art by my favorite artist, Scott Collins, and that was actually the reason I picked the miniseries up in the first place, because it was Scott Collins' art. Mm-hmm. But it's actually a really cool, fun, like self-contained little Thor story.
Mm-hmm.
The other freebie book that they have available is Marvel Universe vs. The Punisher number 1, which is actually a book that they've offered before.
Okay.
So they're starting to cycle through some of the same freebie books that they've had in the past.
Well, if you didn't get them, it's new to you.
That's true, that's true. And there's also two sales going on. I think the sales are good until the end of the day on Thursday, so get on them quick. One is in conjunction with the Arrow TV show, which is a Green Arrow sale. The first two issues of the Arrow digital first book are available on there for free. And I think it's like the entire Kevin Smith run is available. The Longbow Hunters is available.
Oh, I love the Longbow Hunters.
It's so good. It's such good stuff. The Green Arrow Year One by Andy Deagle and Jock is available. It's like the creme de la creme of Green Arrow stories, and they're all on sale for 99 cents a clip.
Wow, that's really cool.
And the other sale that's going on is a sale on Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips' Fatale. It's the first 14 issues. The first issue is free. All those Image number ones that came out over the last year or two, I think they're going to be free on Comixology forever. And the issue 14 of Fatale, which just came out last week at full price of $3.50, is now on sale for $1.
Wow.
So if you picked it up, if I picked it up digitally last week, I might be a little ticked.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the full run of Fatale for $13. And Fatale is such an awesome book.
I actually just pulled my Fatale off on the side because I only read the first five, mm-hmm. and now I'm going to sit down and power through them.
Yeah, because I think it was, you said the first five because that was a storyline, and then the next five were another storyline, and the last three or four issues have all been like little self-contained storylines of Josephine during different time periods.
So it's like the perfect time for me to jump in. I'll get back to it.
Come back to it, because I think 15 starts like a new, like, one of five story arc.
Cool.
Yes, yes, yes. So check out all that digital stuff, if you will. Free stuff, cheap stuff, digital stuff. Get it all.
Yes. Hey, Leonard, do you know what this weekend is?
This weekend is Memorial Day.
Which is the official, you know, start of cookout season, wouldn't you say?
Well, I would say today is the official start of cookout season.
Because it's new comic book day?
Yes.
Fair enough. Around this time. Do you know what 78% of cookouts are ruined by?
Me?
No. Family is a close answer. But it's not having cake for dessert. After washing down all those hot dogs and hamburgers, and you want something sweet at the end of the meal, cakes is the way to go. And our sponsor, Bake Me a Wish, can help you for this Memorial Day. They have over 25 different flavors of gourmet cakes. I think, you know, anybody can find a flavor that they like. Even you, I mean, with your palate, you know, that you don't like some stuff.
They have every flavor of cake. They have chocolate peanut butter and others.
Other. I succumb to other. I'll take all the others. But, mm-hmm. You know, you can reach them through bakemeawish.com. Or if you're not internet savvy like me, they have a toll-free number, 888-987-9474. They can answer all your questions and help you order a cake.
Oh, look at you giving out the phone number and everything.
Yes, because that's the way I would do it, because the Google machine is not my friend.
You're one of those people that you feel if you order something online, they've also stolen your soul.
They've taken everything. As I turn around, stuff is missing from the house.
Yes, I can tell you this. I have ordered cakes from BakeMeAWish.com, and I still have what constitutes for me as a soul.
Cool. Glad to hear it.
Yes.
But, you know, it's a great way to end a cookout.
So let's get into the books that we read last week. Where would you like to begin, my good man?
Would you like to start with start with Iron Man?
I would like to start with Iron Man number 10.
Gotcha.
Iron Man number 10. Besides the fact that the art was very good in this.
Gotcha.
I really like the storyline of this. Now, I'll be honest with you. The Iron Man stuff that I read was mostly the infamous Demon in a Bottle storyline that I think most people reading comic books has read. Some intermittent stuff of him appearing in Avengers. And the only solo Iron Man stuff that I read was a chunk of the Kurt Busiek stuff in The Hero's Return.
Okay.
And there was a part where I think Joe Quesada and Jimmy Pamiotti were doing the book, and it was a whole thing where the armor had become sentient.
Yeah,
And it killed Whiplash and all this other crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So all this stuff about Tony's dad, I'm really digging, about Tony's family.
Right.
I don't know if this is stuff that's been touched upon in the past. I know that they kind of allude to in the movie, and I'm sure a lot of those past stories that Howard Stark had a lot more to do with what's going on, like with S.H.I.E.L.D. and stuff, than we've been originally led to believe. But this was more or less a Howard Stark issue.
Yes, it was. Tony was barely in it.
Yes.
But I liked it. I have to admit, when I first read it, from what we've been reading of this storyline, you know, leading up to it, it's a hard write. Because up to this point, it's, you know, been space adventures and fun like that. And this seems to, like, you know, delves back into the past. And I want to say has like a heist motif.
And yes.
I'm like, okay, that's cool, but it caught me off guard. And in the end, I really did like it, and it looked great. It makes me really want to know what's happening and where things are going.
Right. I would actually even like a little mini series about more exploration of those characters in there.
Mm-hmm. Which I think they're probably going to give us more about each one as time goes on, which I think would be really cool.
But I'm really cool with that as well. And I'm also intrigued by that last page as well.
Mm-hmm. Looking at it now because my brain doesn't work half the time.
Yes.
Next issue, yes. Or the last page?
The last page. Like, the words that are said on that last page with, like, the Milky Way and the cosmos on it.
Gotcha, yep. It's interesting, and I love I think he's 451, I'm not sure the robots, or as I call them, robots, name.
Yes.
I think he's a great character, and he's somebody that I hope when it's over, you know, go away, but, you know, I think he could be a cool, you know, future Iron Man villain.
Now, I want to say this. As you say, that's a great point that you make. A future Iron Man villain.
Mm-hmm.
Todd, what if he's lying? What if he's making all of this up?
What if he's not who he says he is?
No, what if this whole story, this whole thing that he's giving to Tony, the footage and everything else is all cooked that he created.
Mm-hmm.
And he's lying to Tony. None of it's true.
That's a possibility, and we've seen, I mean, not just in this storyline, we've seen it in other ones, that stuff we come to know, you know, about origins and where their upbringing and everything is thrown away again. So, yeah, that could happen. It could be part of the storyline to just get Tony to be off his, you know, rocker to go do something that the robot wants him to do. There's many possibilities.
Yes. So while they do state that this will shake Iron Man to his very core...
Mm-hmm.
I still don't trust this robot. I still think he's saying things to Tony to throw him off his game,
mm-hmm.
in the hopes to be able to manipulate him in the future.
I believe so.
Yes. So I'm very intrigued to see where it's all going to shake out.
Mm-hmm. I'm in for the long haul.
So the other book I just want to mention is one that Todd did not read, but I did. And we'll just talk about this one very briefly, and that is Wolverine and the X-Men number 29, as I mentioned last week. It's kind of a jumping on point. It's the end of one storyline and the beginning of another. The artist on this, Ramon Perez. Now, I wasn't too keen on his art at first, but I think in the last couple issues, especially this one, there's some like giant splash pages that not only are just jam-packed with characters, but jam-packed with characters that are full of life and personality.
Okay.
So I've really come around to the art on it. Essentially what's going on in this is there's a the current class is putting together a time capsule, and then we flash forward 25 years later. They actually put a timestamp on it and say 25 years later. Wolverine's still in charge of the school, and there's so many crazy things going on in the school. Just different things that they're talking about going on that I want to see happen in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Like different members of the class, like or different things that they're just referring to, like Warren Worthington, you know, the sixth is there. Quentin Quire has a kid that's also at the school. New Beijing, San Francisco is now called C Francisco. There's a kid in the current group who is just his mutant power is that he has eyes all over his body. And he is currently living in a detached, sentinel head above the Earth, protecting the Earth from space vampires.
Okay.
Right, so there's a bunch of crazy concepts like that that I think only a writer like Jason Aaron can get away with.
Mm-hmm.
And by just kind of briefly touching upon them really doesn't, I guess, make them sound too corny. Mm-hmm. They're corny concepts, but doesn't make them sound too corny and makes me want to read more about them.
Right.
But the big storyline here is going forward is, you know, I know we have everything going on with the Cyclops stuff, but I think the thing I like most about this X-Men book is that it's so far removed from everything else that's going on in the other X-Men books.
I'm with you. That's the way I was on X-Factor, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like maybe once in a while it'll touch in. You have to. It's you know, it's written in your contract probably. But then, you know, then it goes back real quick and you're like, hey, okay, we're back to normal. But I'm laughing at C. Francisco.
Yes.
It reminds me of, do you remember Sub Diego?
Yes.
I was like, oh, I'd like to see a C. Francisco Sub Diego crossover.
Right.
But
so again, it's a really good book. It's the and it's a it's just bridging the gap from one to the other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's coming up that there's going to be a big all-out war between Logan's good guy school, the Jean Grey Academy, and the Hellfire Academy, which may have some defectors from Logan's school on the team.
That would be terrible. They don't mm-hmm. do that. That's never yes, happened indeed. Before.
Yes. So Wolverine of the X-Men 29, don't poo-poo it just because it's a Wolverine book. And I know a lot of people, it's like, oh, Wolverine is so played out and this, that, the other thing. No, Wolverine's awesome, especially when he's written by Jason Aaron.
Well, I think anybody's written well when they're written by Jason Aaron.
Yes.
But
so moving on, which one would you like to talk about next, my good man? Nightwing or Mark Quaid's Green Hornet?
I'm going to go with the Green Hornet.
Okay, Green Hornet number 2. It was, it was a month in between times of this coming out, or 2 months in between issues. So it was a little late.
Yeah.
If you will.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you think of this issue?
I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those that it's not enough. I don't know. I'm going to give it one more issue to see mm-hmm. where I go, because I like the whole aspect of the Green Hornet being, you know, a pretend criminal. And I like some of the stuff that he does with, you know, to scare the criminals, like when he's talking to them to prove that he's one of the bad guys. I'm like, this is all really cool. But then other times, it just seems a little, you know, flat to me, with a lot of people sitting around and talking and a little, you know, not enough going on. I mean, I think the book looks beautiful and I love Kato, but I don't know, there's just something missing in it for me. So I'm going to, you know, I don't know, try another issue.
Now, see, conversely, my problem with this book is that there's too much going on.
Okay.
And by too much, there's a lot of talking. Because Mark Waid is doing his best to acclimate you. He is under the impression, and rightly so, that a lot of people do not know the rich backstory of the Green Hornet.
I would agree.
And based on that, he is going to cram as much of it into these first two issues as he possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you said you're giving it one more issue.
Mm-hmm.
This was my last issue of Green Hornet.
Wow.
Yes. I love me some Mark Waid, but, you know, this... A comic book should not feel like a chore.
Like work. I got you.
Yes, and this feels like work. It's like, oh my goodness, there's so much I have to know about these characters. You know, where it's easier to write a well-established character.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also easy to write a character where you don't need a ton of this backstory.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, a perfect example is Todd jokes all the time that this brand new character, Daredevil.
Yes.
And Daredevil has a very rich history going all the way back to the beginning of the Marvel Universe back in the 60s. But I think part of the reason that Todd jokes about that is, besides the fact that just get under my skin in each and every time that he does it, but Mark Waid picks this book up. It's new reader accessible. You know that Daredevil is a guy who's blind and fights crime. That's good enough. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
You know everything about Daredevil from the beginning to the end. Let's go. You only read the Bendis run? And nothing else before, nothing else after. That's enough information. Let's go. Everybody's included. You'll all be able to follow along with what I'm doing here.
Exactly. And it's like you said, I got in. I had no problem.
Yes.
I love the book. To me, it's like this is the exact opposite of like The Shadow over at Dynamite. Three different writers. I've loved the two story arcs with the first two writers, and I love the first issue with the third writer, but it's an easier character. The story is, you don't know his backstory. He's a bad man who became a good man who has certain powers that they explain real easy, and then everything else is a mystery, so you're not supposed to know. So you get right into it, has the whole Batman feel, you know, where he's just, you know, thumping on criminals, and you get it. With, like you said, with Green Hornet, it's different because there's, like, so many characters. And, you know, there's, like, the people who work with him at the paper. And then, you know, each issue has, like, you know, the criminal element. And like you said, and by nothing going on, what I mean is there's a lot, you know, of talking. Yes. I totally agree with you. He's not fighting. It just seems he's fighting to tell you how everything works. And I'm like,
yes.
Oh, God. Yep, I'm done, you know.
So, again, you mentioned the writers. I know Garth Ennis was the original writer on The Shadow.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Chris Roberson's on there right now.
Right.
Chris Roberson did some stuff at DC, very famously. One of the original people to hightail it away from DC. So his stuff, you said, is really good right now in The Shadow?
Yeah, his first issue of this new storyline has me locked in, so I have to give him credit.
Awesome. So I think the last book that both you and I read was Nightwing number 20 by Kyle Higgins,
mm-hmm,
with art by Brett Booth.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know, another thing where I think all the Bat books are kind of doing their own thing right now, especially with the end of Death in the Family. You know, Batgirl has her own little thing that's going on. And this is the reintroduction of the Prankster in the DC Universe.
Yes, it is.
And it has also moved Nightwing off to Chicago, and he is looking to, well, again, I don't want to give too much away, because I was going to say, even though it's in the preview pictures, the preview text doesn't say what's going on, but someone very crucial to Nightwing's past has popped back up, and that's what has brought him to Chicago.
Right, and with that character, I think it's a new and interesting take on that character, like what they seem to be hinting at, so I'm cool with that. But the thing I love about this book is the Prankster right now. I think I love the idea of what the Prankster is doing, and I don't want to give too much away because it is really cool with what, you know, shows up to mess with one, you know, character, or just a person that it's setting up what the Prankster does and how it tweaks with people who've maybe done wrong. So I know definitely the Prankster is a bad, bad person because of what they're, yes, doing. But I like who, like, you know, he's going after bad people too. So you're like, oh, that's kind of cool. But it's in really sick and twisted ways, which is keeping me interested.
So, yes, this is one of the books that I think is going to do very well on its own, kind of separated from anything else that's going on in the other Bat books for some time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still with it. I love me some Nightwing, so I'll be sticking around for a while.
Me too. This has grabbed me, like, I don't know, just woke me up about, you know, Nightwing. And I think, once again, a lot of books had a stall with the Joker storyline. And I don't mean, mm-hmm, that they were bad. It's just that it interrupts the flow of where you're going with the book, and I think we're completely back on track with Nightwing. So
now, the only thing that I want to mention about this, and that is the art.
I was going to say the same thing, but yeah, I didn't want you banging on me because I'm always Mr. Negative Artie Pants.
Yes. Now, I like the cover a lot. I like the way the cover was done and the cover was colored and laid out and everything. And it's the same artist, which is Brett Booth. And when you get into this book, the art in this book is very of its time, which is not 2013, but sometime in the 90s.
Are you saying some of DC's art has a heavily 90s look?
This specifically. He's a very good artist, Brett Booth, but there's just something about this art that I think, from the previous artist that we had on it, it's a definite step back.
Oh, and now, are you talking about Eddie Barrows or the one who came on afterwards?
Eddie Barrows' art was, like, killer on this book.
Yeah,
and
makes me sad.
I'm just looking up here to see who was on the book previous to that. But yeah, Brett Booth's art, while nice, does not follow suit with the previous artists that were on this book.
Right. I think, you know, like you said, if Eddie Barrows had done this with all the creep factor, it would have looked like one of the coolest things I've ever seen. But yeah, I'm with you. I think the faces are a little off, but the story is really carrying me through this.
Yes, it's a very strong story. Kyle Higgins is doing a lot of really good stuff, and it's based on his strength as a writer. I think I mentioned last week, with me dropping the Batman And book, I'm going to be picking up the Batman Beyond Universe book that's co-written by Kyle Higgins and Christos Gage that comes out in August.
I will probably be picking up that book, too, because I think two of the most underrated writers in comics right now are Gage and Higgins.
Yes. So I'll be looking forward to checking that one out when that comes out. I know that's another one, like the Adventures of Superman book, where the digital stuff starts for it in the beginning of August, and then the first three or four parts will be collected in print at the end of August.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a new writer coming on the Justice League Beyond digital thing. I just got the first collection of that. I haven't gotten a chance to dive into it because I'm still behind on a lot of things, but I'm looking forward to checking that out as well.
Gotcha.
So I think that covers everything that we read from last week.
Right.
Where would you like to... I guess the question for you, Todd, is what are you looking forward to this week?
I think we might have the same thing again.
Well, yes and no. Yes, we do, but no, because I'm cheating. But go ahead.
Okay, because I'm going to go with the two things I'm looking forward to most. Are both books with the word green in the title. Am I on the same page as you?
That's my cheat this week, yes, sir.
My cheat is I'm going for the Green Team, Team Trillionaires, to give, you know, to see the new Gail Simone book. And I want to see...
No.
What?
The Movement is the Gail Simone.
I mean, yes. Art Balthazar and... I apologize, I do have it wrong. The
for
Art
shame.
Balthazar and Franco book. And I also want to see if I get my Orange Lantern oath in Green Lantern.
Yes. I know you got a chance to go to the shop the other day and check that out. And I guess it's like not a stapled book. It's almost like a prestige format book.
Yep, I think they call it square bound.
Oh, boy. So, yes, Green Lantern number 20. One door closes and another one opens. Green Lantern number 20 and Green Team Teen Trillionaires number 1. Green Team is the first in New 52 or any regular continuity book that Balthazar and Franco are getting to do. You know, the concept of it is a little wacky. It's a bunch of kids who have tons of money and decide that they're going to fix things with their money. Iguara is the artist. Covers by Amanda Connor. I'm just picking this up because it's Balthazar and Franco, and I will support anything they do. It looks like a beautiful book. It's a wacky enough concept that just might work.
Mm-hmm. Yep, sorry about that. Sorry about
no,
my
it's okay.
mistake.
Whereas,
because I know, you know, with your perfect record and 70-some shows, I feel bad.
No, it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's quite all right, because those were my two cheats. Those were my two books. So even cheating, somehow we still line up properly.
That's what we do.
The other book, of course, is Green Lantern number 20 on my buddy's blog at bealittleweird.com, and we'll get to that in just a second. I wrote a little piece that'll be up sometime today talking about both these books, how this is the end of Jeff Johns' epic run on Green Lantern. And say what you will about this run. A lot of people were on it at the beginning, fell off, came back, went off. This is the book that made Green Lantern a mainstream character. It was this run that has been going on for almost 9 years, which ends to this week, that, for better or for worse, brought us the toy line, the cartoon, the ill-fated movie. It put Green Lantern on lunchboxes next to Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman.
I would agree. I would agree that, yes, you know, that helped. I think he was always a relevant character. I think he kind of stumbled a bit when Kyle Rayner was, even though I loved Kyle Rayner as a Green Lantern, you know. Mm-hmm. But I'm with you on that. The only thing that I'm worried about this book, and that's why I want to read it, is because I haven't been reading the other GL titles.
Yes.
And I'm afraid going into this, I'm going to be like, what's going on? That's
from what I understand, you're okay to read this one by itself.
Okay.
But if you're reading the other ones by themselves, mm-hmm, you definitely need to pick this one up.
Okay.
Because it picks up a lot of plot threads from this issue in, like, Red Lanterns 20, New Guardians 20, and Core 20.
Gotcha.
Where it just picks up storylines as though you read this issue.
Gotcha.
Yes. So I do have one other recommendation.
Even further this cheating? Week.
Further cheating, gotcha. Yes. There's a reason for this. A friend of mine, Chris Sims, along with Chad Bowers and some other great talent, are putting out a book digitally this week from Monkey Brain. It's on Comixology. It's called Subatomic Party Girls. The pitch of this book is the world's most popular pop punk trio decides that they're going to make history by being the first band to play on the moon. Well, their ship misses the moon, and then they get into all sorts of wacky adventures.
You had me at wacky adventures.
Right. So, I have, and again, I have, I will be giving away digital copies of this. If you go check out my blog, that'll be on my buddy Brian's website at bealittleweird.com tomorrow. And there will be instructions in there on how you could possibly win a copy of this for free. Now, it's only 99 cents, so, you know, it's not breaking the bank to give these away. But, you know, hey, maybe you're afraid of digital books and maybe you don't have the money to spend. There's a chance that you can win them for free. And the reason I'm being vague is I don't know how it works.
That's usually how I live my life.
Yes, yes. So once in our life, I'm the one who's left in the dark.
Oh, good. It's a nice, it's refreshing.
Yes. So just moving along here with a sketch party from last week, I do want to mention a bunch of the cool sketches that our listeners put up. Rick Williams, Free Karate Chops at Twitter, put up that super cool Wolverine by Herb Trimpe. That Old Comic Smell, which is another great, great Twitter handle. If you've got an awesome Twitter handle and you let us know, I'll just say it because it's cool.
Mm-hmm. Roker the Joker is a good one.
Yes, Roker the Joker is a very good one. Mr. Senior, who always contributes something, you know, something self-drawn, he did a very minimalistic version of the lead character in the Pixar movie Brave, and it's really, really well done. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy it quite a bit. And our non-Twitter listener, the one person who emails me, Kurt Cooney, not only contributed to the Twitter question, which we'll get to, he also sent me, which I'll include in the show notes, an awesome Nova, the Galactus Herald Nova, by Mike Waringo.
Ooh, interesting.
And he sent me the little website that he has it up at, and there's a little story about his interaction that day that he had with Mike Waringo. So I'm going to include that in the show notes so you, our listeners, can check that out, and maybe you guys can all pester Kurt to get on Twitter.
Yes.
And speaking of getting on Twitter, you can always follow the show on Twitter at Weekly Long Box. You can follow Todd at Roker the Joker. That's R-O-W-K-E-R, the Joker. And one day he's going to get over 200 followers. I guarantee it. How come every one of our listeners are not following Todd? What's going on?
I don't know.
Don't make me start creating fake accounts to do it.
Oh, that would be awesome. You do that.
I would.
Because you don't have enough work. You just lay around all day, so I think you can do that.
Right, exactly. I need to find new ends to burn this candle at.
Yes.
And then, of course, you can follow me on the Twitter machine. I am LF Chikarason. That's LFCHIKARASON. And, yeah. So that's where you can get in touch with us on Twitter. Of course, as I mentioned before, you can also email us, our good buddy, like our good buddy Kurt does. My email address is the same as the Twitter handle. Instead of the at sign at the beginning, throw it at the end, throw a little ymail.com in there, and I'll include you in all the fun and festivities that we have here each and every week on the good old weekly long box.
Yes. And can we mention what mine was?
Oh, my apologies, Todd. I'm so sorry.
I didn't
know. Yours was the Captain Marvel by Leonard Kirk.
Yes, it was. Met him.
And you always have a really fun story about these, so I apologize.
If you don't want to hear it, we could skip it. I know how you are.
No, because we have so much to talk about still.
Mm-hmm. I met him at the New York Comic Con, and obviously I'm a big fan because he did Supergirl and, you know, some JSA and a lot of stuff. And he did Captain Britain and MI-13. And
yes.
I went over to him and I just asked him, you know, could I get something free? He's like, oh, not free, but like, you know, could I get a doodle? If like, what do you charge? Blah, blah, blah. He's like, oh, I could do a quick doodle for you free. And I was like, that's fine. So he knew that I like JSA. So he just did a quick Captain Marvel. And I was talking to him about how much I loved his pages of Doom and Dracula on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh yeah, I really love those. The inker got those. And I'm like, oh, okay, right? He's like, he's two aisles over at, you know, blah, blah, blah table. I don't remember the number, you know? And I'm like, I don't mean to be rude, but I'm going to go. And he's like, I understand. So I go around the corner, and a guy's handing the inker money for the Doom on the Moon with Dracula pages. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to let this get me down. I got a cool Leonard Kirk sketch, and I went off and got some other stuff. But it was just like, oh, like, how awesome would it, like, you know, as a fan of, like, me of Doom, to have him on the moon with Dracula by the lunar landing. But what are you going to do?
Oh, boy. So, yeah, so that's so close. So close. That's what you get for being nice.
Yeah, well, you know, I should have just busted through instead of went around.
Like, right.
I should have juggernauted it through the tables.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, so I'm sorry for skipping that over. I was trying to get to, because we have a whole Todd section at the end where we're going to talk about Doctor Who and I'm going to go get a drink. I mean, listen intently.
Gotcha.
No, so our Twitter question from this past week was, your favorite villain that crossed over and also became a hero as well.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of really good choices from our listeners. Magneto got some love. From our listeners, as did Rogue. Deadpool did. And I don't think Deadpool is so much as, you know, he went from, like, chaotic evil to chaotic kind of less evil.
Wow.
You know, I wouldn't say that, you know, he's directed his evil toward other evil people. But I don't know if he's officially, like, a good guy, if you will.
Gotcha. Leonard dropping alignment jokes. I like that.
Yeah. You know, I remember when Dungeons & Dragons was still a thing.
It still is a thing, I think.
It is! Oh, my goodness. Be still my beating heart. Now, this is another good one that was brought up by a couple people. The aforementioned Mr. Senior and another longtime listener, Hamster Gal, Jeanette there on Twitter, both mentioned Plastic Man. And you forget that Plastic Man was a bad guy.
Eel O'Brien was a thug.
That's right. Noel Margate mentioned Max Damage from the great Mark Waid series Incorruptible. That's a great, great choice.
Mm-hmm.
Again, aforementioned That Old Comic Smell, T.O.C., Smell mentioned Pied Piper from that great Flash run.
Yep.
Our good buddy Josh brought up a one that I didn't even think of because it was such a great story. And then obviously with everything that happened with the New 52 and everything, it kind of got washed away. But he mentioned the Riddler from that Paul Dini run in Detective Comics.
Where he was the PI, right?
Yes. And his whole thing was like, I'm going to be a good PI and prove I'm a better detective than Batman.
That was an interesting take.
Yes, it was really. It makes me want to go read that whole run again.
Mm-hmm.
But and I think I mentioned Magneto, and I think Magneto was probably the. Actually, you know what? Magneto was close. He had a bunch of votes, but our listeners made the choice for me. My original choice was Abner Jenkins. Now, Todd, you're going to say to yourself, "Who's Abner Jenkins? Nobody even knows who that is."
Is that Mach 4?
Yes, it is.
Oh my God.
Originally the Beatle.
Right.
And his character arc in the Kurt Busiek Thunderbolts book is so awesome. And when they were teasing of who the new Venom was going to be, it's currently Flash Thompson, spoiler everyone, and they were laying a lot of red herrings of who the new Venom was going to be, I was hoping it was going to be him, even though it's horrible to be attached to the Venom symbiote, just because I wanted to read a book that he was the lead of.
That would be interesting.
Yes, so that was my original choice. That's the first name that came to mind because, you know, he's been the Beatle for a very long time, and it's only been within the last 15, 20 years that he's, you know, turned over a good leaf to become Mach 4 and become a great scientist and help people. But again, our listeners, our great, great listeners, whether it be Todd Ingram, Tom Gierke, Robot Hammer, whatever that means, they all made the choice for me, and the correct answer to this, of course, is Clint Barton, Hawkeye.
Hawkeye.
And again, it was like, I knew he was a bad guy. I knew he was under the influence of, Black Widow back in the day when she was a baddie. I'm surprised nobody mentioned her as their favorite.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, for me and the majority of our listeners, Hawkeye is the best hero to, or the best villain to hero transition. Todd, who was your choice?
Is it okay if they eventually went back to being a villain?
Sure.
Okay, just checking. Mine's a really short run of the character being a hero, but it is Solomon Grundy in Starman.
Ah, that is a good one.
I'll never forget when he was, you know, dying or whatever it would be, because he would come back with different personalities, and he didn't want to die because he knew he was going to come back as the evil Solomon Grundy, and I was like, no, I did like the whole Darth Vader scream at the end of Revenge of the Sith, but yeah, I just really like that, like, you know, the whole, I'm trying to think, what the name of the book was, but the character, like, you know, the soft-spoken, you know, not smart, you know, Solomon Grundy, who was trying to help, who was in love with one of the O'Dares, I think, with
yes.
The girl O'Dare. I just really like that. But that's my choice, Solomon Grundy.
That's a good choice. I don't think anyone mentioned Solomon Grundy.
Mm-hmm. I was going to pick the Shade. It was all Starman. But I always felt like the Shade was, after they retconned him, he was never really a villain. He just kind of did it to be, you know, to fill his time because he was an immortal. So he was my Abner Doubleday or whatever Mach 4 is.
But yeah, the Shade is another one kind of to me like Deadpool, where he's like, he never really changes who or what he believes. It's just who he decides to focus those energies on.
Right. The only thing is he won't do a crime in Opal City.
Yes.
So that maybe he's a hero in Opal.
There you go.
But yeah.
So I do thank everyone for participating in this week's Twitter question. Todd, you said you have a Twitter question for this week, do you not?
Yes. What is something that, you know, that they do in comics over and over again that you get annoyed at? Like, it could be something like the Watcher, you know, breaking his vow, or I'm trying to think of, like, a few others, like Spider-Man lifting that heavy thing again for, like, you know, the 50th time. You're like, you keep going back to this well again and again and again and again, and, you know, you kind of gotten annoyed with it after a while.
Comic tropes that have run their course.
Right. I couldn't think of the word tropes is a good one.
There you go. So comic tropes that have run their course, like, I'm trying to think of another good one. That's Spider-Man lifting the giant thing is a good one.
I was trying to think. Killing Robins.
Yes. These are all great choices. So let us know what your choice is. If you have a kind of a blanket one, or if there's a couple in particular that you're like, I hate every time this happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I have mine right now, but it could change in the next 7 days when I see some of our listeners' good suggestions.
The way this came up for me, I was literally reading a comic last week, and it happened, and I went, there's our question for this week.
So. That's a good one. So just tweet to us with the hashtag GrizzWLQ, or shoot me an email at the aforementioned email address. And yeah, we'll compile them up and talk about them right here next week.
Yay.
So, Todd, before we get into the heavy spoiler discussion of Star Trek II Into Darkness and Doctor Who, is there anything else that you'd like to mention before we bid some of our listeners adieu?
No.
All right. Well, again, I do thank everyone for listening, who are parting out who don't want to be spoiled by Star Trek or Doctor Who stuff, thanks for listening to episode 79 of the Weekly Long Box, and we're going to give everyone about 5 seconds to walk away.
Lots of silence.
So there you go. I couldn't even hear the air conditioner in the back.
Oh, good.
So let's start with the Doctor Who stuff.
Yes.
So what was this big spoilery thing that got leaked out that everyone was shocked and appalled by?
Basically, through a series of events, the Doctor and his companion had jumped into his timeline, like his whole life. So you could see it from, you know, beginning to end, and we were seeing little bits of it. So we were seeing all, you know, 10 Doctors before him. And then at one point, the companion goes, well, I've seen all these faces before. That's 1 through 10. Who's that guy? And he's like, I've been trying to tell you, because the name of the episode was the name of the Doctor, and we thought we were actually going to get his real name, which has never been, you know, he just goes by the Doctor.
Right.
And he goes, listen, and he's explained this before. He's like, the Doctor is the name I gave myself. It's like a promise. I try to help people and fix things. He goes, that may be me, but he doesn't deserve the Doctor name.
And ooh.
So he's an incarnation of the Doctor who he did something so horrible that he doesn't deserve to be called the Doctor, but he's still him. And when the guy turns around, he's like, I did what I did in the name of peace and sanity. And it's John Hurt, who was the guy who had the alien bust out of his chest in the first Alien movie.
Okay.
Yeah, so he turns around and he's like, so, and it says at the end, John Hurt, introducing John Hurt as the Doctor. So there's another version of Doctor, and this won't be explained until the 50th anniversary, which will be the 10th Doctor and the 11th Doctor teaming up to, I don't know, take this guy down or help this guy. We don't know. We just don't know. And I was like, this is awesome. This is amazing.
So is this now, is he the 12th Doctor, or is he a previous incarnation, or is he like the forgotten Doctor?
We don't know.
Uh-huh.
But it makes it sound like, well, he's not a future one, because he doesn't know who his future self will be yet, as far as I know. But it's one of his, and since we've seen every regeneration, I know this isn't going to make any sense to you, it's probably between the 8th and the 9th Doctor, where, like, the TV went off the air for, like, a decade in 96. So something happened there, and it might be during what they call the Time War, which was going on all in there. And I'm like, I don't know. I just want November to happen now so I can have this explained to me.
That does actually sound like a really cool premise.
Right.
You know, the little that I know of the Doctor from the 5 comic books that I've read and Osmosis Through You and the 1 episode that I've watched. That is, I guess that's, you know, obviously something that's never been done before in the Doctorverse.
No, and we thought we knew every incarnation of him, you know? So here it is. And I have to admit, if this had been the 50th anniversary episode, I would have been totally happy with it. Because it had the whole thing where, like, the companion had to jump through time and save the Doctor at different points. So we saw every incarnation of the Doctor, obviously, except for this, the John Hurt one. So she was doing stuff, and she was there at the moment when the first Doctor stole the TARDIS and left his home planet. And I'm like in the first thing, even before the credits roll, we've seen all 10 Doctors. And I'm like, I'm good. We could stop here. I'm like, this is nerd overload right here.
Now, obviously some of these folks are probably passed on.
Right.
So I guess it was just like clips of old shows?
Yes, it was. They didn't use any of the actors to come back.
Okay.
The first 3 Doctors are dead. The 4th Doctor is like 80 years old. Then after that, the like 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th, you know, they didn't come on. There was rumors that some of them might come on for the 50th anniversary in November, but it looks like that's not going to happen. But they just, you know, they just used footage. And I think, I have to go back and watch again, I think they implied that the second Doctor saved the San Diego Comic-Con. So, I have to go back and look at that.
Oh, boy.
But,
so that actually does sound really cool, I'll be honest with you.
Okay. I want to see if it affects that little bet that we have, because it's to read the Prisoners of Time, that there's 12 issues, and they said, we're going to show you every incarnation of the Doctor, and there's 12 issues, so are we going to get this John Hurt Doctor? Or is it going to be, I don't know, is he going to regenerate and we'll get another Doctor at the end of the 50th anniversary? So, speculation all around.
Now, the other question I have for you is, in talking to your fellow Whoites, Whovorians, I think they're called, is the general consensus is that this is a good thing? Is there any people out there complaining about this?
I haven't seen anybody complaining about it, and I have a couple of friends who I haven't gotten to talk to, like personal friends, who I haven't seen since the episode aired, but I haven't heard anybody, I've heard a lot of people like geeking out over this, like, this is awesome, I need to see what's going on right now. So hopefully, you know, they'll love it. I loved it. I think it got a positive rating.
I'm glad for you. I really am.
And it's funny because it's probably the weakest season so far since the show came back. But this episode is like one of the greatest episodes ever made. And they just announced that the 8th season is officially go, which is next season. You know, like, it wasn't just the 50th anniversary special. Like, up to this point, we still haven't had an affirmative, we're going to have an 8th season. So we'll see.
So the other thing that we're going to talk about, spoilery, is Star Trek Into Darkness.
Yes.
Now, I'll be honest with you, I know nothing about this movie. Because I knew I would not be getting a chance to see it anytime soon, so I'm just like, well, why tease myself with information about this movie that I'll never get a chance to see?
Right.
Now, let's get down to it. Is it good? What's it about? Let's go through it all.
Okay, the worst part of this movie is Star Trek Into Darkness is its name. That's it.
Okay.
I don't like the title, but everything else, it was one of those movies where I sat down and I watched it, and I think it's 2 hours and 2 minutes. At no point was I bored, which is a feat in, you know, some movies today. Basically, it's about Kirk and Spock fighting with their friendship because some stuff, they disagree about some stuff, and they feel one has betrayed the other a little bit, and something happens, like a terrorist attack happens, and they feel that Kirk, who, you know, throw the rule book out the window, he's the guy to go after this terrorist who is Jason Harrison is his name? I forget. In the movie. So he's going to go bring him down, and he has to take his ship where, you know, it's not supposed to go. And as we find out, as the movie goes on, everything is not what it seems. And some of the surprise stuff is really cool. But
so is there any, like, cool cameos? Is everyone back from the previous movie?
Everybody's back from the previous movie, from the, you know, the original cast of, let's, you know, replacing the original series. A couple of new characters show up who have been around, and the villain is someone we've seen before.
Ooh, interesting.
Yes, I can hear you yawn in there, but,
No, I was stretching. It's the heat is sapping my life force.
Gotcha. But yeah, the action is on, the humor's on, some of the space scenes are just like amazing. And I really think at this point, like the first movie. Did you ever see the first movie?
Yes, I really liked the first movie.
Right, because what I liked about the first movie is, you know, everybody got to do something. I equate it to the first X-Men movie, where, you know, it's a very well-written movie, as in nobody's just thrown away. Now, this movie's a little more Spock-Kirk heavy, but that's the way it's going to be. And as it goes on, there's just, like, you know, some moral dilemmas, but not as heavy as the old, you know, Star Trek used to be. A lot of, you know, fun action, J.J. Abrams, lens flares, which I love. But, you know, in the end, I really like what they were doing, and there was a lot of nods to the original, like, pre-timeline series, and I loved it. It's my favorite movie so far of the year, even though I've only seen Iron Man, I think. But.
And again, I'll say this. I'm excited to see the movie. I just didn't want to know anything about it until, you know, because I wouldn't be getting a chance to see it. Like, I still haven't seen the second Sherlock Holmes movie.
I haven't seen either of those.
The first one is good. If you like Robert Downey Jr., it's, you know, it's Robert Downey Jr. being Robert Downey Jr. It's just, it's Iron Man without the armor, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's doing stuff like that, but... You know, I Star Trek is definitely on the list of must-sees. It just, I'm not going to get a chance to see it in the theater.
Two things about Star Trek. It makes me very happy for Star Wars,
mm-hmm.
because there are some moments where I can almost actually hear the Star Wars music in the background.
In your, yeah.
I'm not making that up. And then it makes me really sad because I'm hoping that he'll do the third Star Trek movie, but I just think his plate will be too full, because did they set up a third Star Trek movie without being so like hardcore that you're like, oh, I know we're gonna get a third one, and there's all these dangling plot lines. You're like, no, there probably is something coming, but you know, this series of events throughout the movie sets it off, and you're like, that's gonna be the next movie. But it's not like, oh, you know, oh, like to be continued.
Right, it's definitely, the pieces are there, but this definitely is a self-contained film.
Right, standalone, yes. And I think yes. It's even accessible if you haven't seen the first movie. You might be a little confused on some things, but I think it's very accessible as a standalone movie.
So, so thank you very much for sticking around with us while we talked more about the... Star Trek movie, the Doctor Who finale. Hopefully everyone enjoyed all that.
I do too.
And I guess the next... Well, are you going to see Fast 6 this weekend?
No, but I might see Hangover 3 just because me and my one friend saw the two of them just as a Memorial weekend kind of thing. Like that, if we're not doing anything on Sunday night, we usually hit a movie, so maybe... Maybe Hangover 3, but if it doesn't come to pass, it doesn't come to pass.
Now, I'll be honest with you, I had no interest in seeing Hangover 2.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the first one, it felt like it was its own little self-contained film, and the second one felt like more of a cash grab, because the first one was so successful.
Mm-hmm. So you saw Hangover 1?
Yes.
Then you saw Hangover 2.
Ah.
Literally, it's the same plot, take... baby away, insert monkey. Take Doug away, who got kidnapped, insert a brother-in-law, and you have the exact same movie. As a matter of fact, somebody pointed out to me that in Hangover 1, I think when they wake up, it's a Johnny Cash song, and then later on in the movie, something happens, and it's like, I think a Trent Reznor song. I could be wrong on that one. But in those same two parts of the second movie, they play a different Johnny Cash song, and then they play a different Trent Reznor song. So it's like the formula to a T.
It's like even the same musical beats?
Yeah, just same artists, different songs.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, you know, I think we can talk about that one next week without being spoilery. I don't think... if you come back and say it was the same as the last two movies, I don't think anyone's going to be surprised by that.
That's if I go, but I was just throwing it out there.
All right. Well, hey, I understand we might run into each other this weekend. I don't know how late you're staying out.
We might run into each other this weekend?
Yes. Well, besides at the comic shop later today, at our good buddy DJ's graduation deal.
Oh, yeah. I'll be there at some point. I don't know what time
yes,
I'll get
I will
there.
Be there very late. Very, very late.
I'm thinking whatever time it takes me to get from my house after 9 o'clock to his house. So.
Now, April may be there by herself, sans baby, and sans me during that time frame.
Will she talk to me?
Possibly, okay. If you're nice, so no.
Oh, okay. This is the test.
Yes.
But
no, she'll be there. She'll be, you know, our schedules just are not conducive to the two of us being there at the same time, which stinks, but...
Gotcha.
Such is life.
These are the things you have to hammer out in a relationship.
That's right. The life of a traveling gypsy. So, yeah, I think that closes things up.
Yeah.
Don't you agree?
I would definitely agree.
All right. So, again, for the second time, if you stuck with us through the spoilery talk... this is Leonard for Todd, closing out episode 79 of the Weekly Long Box, and we will catch you all here next week.